This is a live show. That's cool. It's rock and roll. The other thing is when Yossi, what do they call you as a kid?
Yosef Yitzchak.
Didn't anyone call you Yossel or is that just me? No, they didn't. They called you Yosef Yitzchak. He was this quiet kid. He was, how old are you, 15 or something when I met you? He was this pious kid, never said a word, and he slept in a room all full of holy books. I had some books in my room as well. Whatever, as a kid. And I felt bad. I felt as though I were debasing the room itself. And then I saw him years later, this funny guy. How did it happen? But that's not the first question. Let's get serious. Really serious.
What?
Let's get serious and let's tell him the truth. Let's get some cult members in here because there are too many already. Maybe you can turn this guy off from Judaism. All right. Now, Simon.
Yeah.
By the way, I must compliment you on your glasses. Your eyewear through the years has gotten hipper and hipper. You know, it's a new thing. You know, it's not like he's tie-dyeing this stuff purple, but still a little nod to grooviness. Bang, bang. You got to groove up a little bit more to the younger brother. All right.
Become Simon's age.
All right, it happens. Compensate for older age, the gray, the hipper glasses. I know I'll go. Simon, let's get serious. And now, Judaism filled with rules. Filled with rules. I mean, there's a ton of rules. How is it, and you've expressed to me that it's a liberating thing. How is it that something so seemingly rigid could be any pathway to any kind of freedom or liberation?
Did you tell them how rigid it is? Oh, we have to elaborate.
God will smite you down.
And evoke his wrath on all of the transgressors.
He will place frogs in everyone and everything.
If you violate the Abrahamic covenant.
How come you're reading this stuff? I'm doing this by art. All right, go on. You got the question? Rigidity, freedom, how does it work? It's a paradox.
Yeah, well, first of all, it's an honor to be here at the Soho Playhouse with my buddy Peter and my brother, Yosef Yitzchak. And it's hard not to be humorous in a way, because there's a thin line between, they say, between humor and seriousness, if you're a real person. And that's why Jews have always mastered, I think, the art of both those skills. You know, I want to elaborate on the question a little, if I may. The rigidity of Judaism, most of you know, is absolute. You're talking about a Torah that is considered to be divine. And as such, therefore, there's no room for relativism, in the sense the Ten Commandments are the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not murder, keep Shabbat, believe in God, not construct idols, and you cannot in any way fluctuate. So I think that the biggest challenge, and I speak on a personal note, and when I was a teenager, and I grew up in a traditional Jewish home, my parents are sitting here.
Not to interrupt at all, the beard on that microphone, it's just a scratch. Let me shift it, it'll be better.
Okay.
I don't know, can you shift it anywhere?
Beards and mics don't work together, do they?
Pull the shirt down, that wouldn't work.
Is that better?
That's better.
Okay.
Right. Fine, go.
Okay.
Not anymore, huh?
And frankly, where was I? Right. Frankly, my parents are sitting here, so I could I'll be a little irreverent. Even though growing up in a traditional home, my father particularly and our entire family were never driven by dogma. So, though it wasn't discussed directly, to me the biggest question and challenge was, as I came out of my young adolescence into adulthood, was how do you integrate, or how do you some way synchronize between a free-spirited person and all these laws? Now the obvious answer is, maybe you don't. You know, maybe Judaism simply doesn't leave room for a spirit. And essentially, thousands of years of Jews from Sinai basically were conformists that accepted a higher rule, and maybe they made a decision that the benefits of following these laws is worth the price of not being a free spirit. And simply, life is not perfect, so you have to make a choice. Personally, I couldn't accept that. It seemed very almost unfathomable that thousands of years of brilliant Jews, no one was a free spirit, and all these great men were just conforming to, great men and women, I should say, were conforming to laws. And honestly, I looked to my own yeshiva background, I talked to my teachers and to rabbis, and as many of you have gone to yeshiva probably know, they don't let you really ask such questions. Because if you do, basically, you may as well close down the school in their mind. You know, and they silence you, either directly or indirectly, and don't let you ask and challenge a question like that. And I really didn't have anyone to turn to. And it wasn't like they were very formulated questions. I was a teenager. I was having fun. It wasn't like I was thinking about this all the time. But in those serious moments, when you start thinking about your life and choices, it was a big issue for me, very big issue. And ultimately, it's a long story, but the thing that finally touched me, that really, let's put it this way, turned a certain type of epiphany, was when the Rebbe, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, was speaking once about the youth, by young people. And he said that the rebellion in young people, many people would mistakenly think it's coming from a negative place. Like, we have to tolerate it, but it's not a positive thing, because they're rebelling against rules, against establishment, against anything, that any type of structure. And the Rebbe continued and said, but that's a big mistake, that the rebellion in young people comes from the fire in the soul that refuses to conform to the status quo and wants to change this world, but is frustrated and doesn't know how to. And adults would do well, if they can't help, to get out of the way. They want to help, to use their seasoning and experience and knowledge, maturity, to channel that energy into something positive, into our spiritual revolution. Because obviously, if you don't channel it, it can be destructive. Now, this was the gist of it. When I heard that, I remember that it had an unbelievable effect on me. Because I couldn't believe that a 75-year-old man at the New York Times would label ultra-Orthodox, right-wing, backwards, archaic, you know, the whole thing, is speaking such language, where people, my contemporaries and peers, didn't speak that way. And I said, if this was every Jewish leader who knew Torah, really knew it, felt, that means his father-in-law and the Rebbe's and great Tzaddikim before him, going all the way back to Moses, these people were really with it. And what it did to me didn't change everything, but it opened up the opportunity that I decided I got to hit the books, basically. You know, I was a student, I was in yeshiva, I was studying to get by, but it wasn't a passion yet. And I really took off a year and a half and made a choice that I knew that knowledge is power, and I threw myself into the books because I didn't want to have any intermediaries, teachers who may have their own opinions. I wanted to see what it says in the original Hebrew, straight from the source. And what I discovered is really what shaped my life, why I'm sitting here tonight, and everything that I do, frankly. And you wouldn't be here had I not discovered it.
Wow, how old were you at the time?
I was 17, 18. That was the age. And the thing that I discovered, and this is the what happened.
Go on. I went like this. Just a little eyebrow. Boop.
Yeah.
Okay. Same path, pretty much.
Okay. And I'll tell you, what happened to me was that I discovered was an unbelievable concept, which was very, and to me, resonated personally, that the only way you can defy structure is through structure. There's no way that you can be a free spirit without structure. And basically, in a way, structure is a means to get beyond structure. And there's no way around that. It's because this universe is a structure. You know, when it comes to eating and sleeping, no free spirit says, I just do what I like. There are built-in limits all the time. So the challenge, essentially, is either you're going to commit suicide in the name of aspiring to some infinite place, or is to find a way to manipulate the structure and discover how structure leads you to a place that's beyond it. best example I have, and I hope I can use a musical example.
It actually is the best metaphor.
There you go. It's the musical notes. Musical notes is as rigid as it gets. There are only that many keys on the musical scale, on a piano, on a guitar, and that's it. Yet, music is associated with free spirit, and you can play an infinite amount of combinations based on those structures. So the challenge is this. It's not whether Torah, the laws or the rigidity of Torah is a contradiction to free spiritedness. The challenge is, can you use these laws, can you use these musical notes, these spiritual notes, to reach places you would never be able to reach to without them? There's no way you can reach the power of music without its structure. So that's a short answer, but I wanted to share it in a personal note because, bottom line, if you can't experience it, all these things are nice academic words. And the real challenge is, I think to myself and to all of us, we all live in a world where there are confines all the time. So what do? You take off weekends where you go and you travel into the infinite. Can you really integrate these two worlds? And the answer is, I found in the books, that this precisely was the challenge of all Torah Jews from the beginning of time. Starting from Abraham, starting from Adam for that matter, they wanted to bridge the finite and the infinite. And they were wise enough to know that you can't destroy one in face of the other. And the challenge was, how do you bridge these opposites? It's the basis of all Kabbalah, of every search of spiritual search there is. And Judaism's brilliant answer is that ultimately God is neither finite nor infinite. And if you can find that magical thin line, you're able to use that structure to fly.